on, but Romans chapter number 10, Romans chapter number 10, I'm well aware of what time it is, and I really don't care, but just for your sake, I will be mindful of the time this morning. Romans chapter number 10, simple little thought. This morning I want to try and motivate some of you to stay in. Brother Carl's testimony, I had no idea he was going to stand up this morning. He was talking about how hard it is sometimes to stay focused. The devil will use the little nitpick things in life and magnify them in such a way that they become bigger than your God is. And just let me encourage you by saying this, there's nothing bigger than God. There's no doctor's report, there's no stack of bills, there's no physical situation, there's no emotional situation, anything that's bigger than our God. Somebody said, if God can't fix it, it ain't broke. Amen. I want to motivate somebody to stay in this thing. If we had everybody that has ever gotten in this church, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about if we had everybody here this morning that in the 26 years that I've been here that have gotten saved, there is not a building in this town that would hold them. If we had Walmart, they'd be lined up out on the sidewalk this morning. What a blessing. Oh, wouldn't it be something if we could keep them off? I don't mean just keep them all to ourselves. I mean we'd send out missionaries and preachers and all that kind of stuff. But I mean keep everybody in.
Amen.
In what? In church.
Amen.
In the fight. Amen. In the faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I want to motivate somebody to stay in. To stay in, you're going to have to do like Carl did and keep you focused. I want to motivate somebody not just to stay in, but I'm about to motivate somebody to get in.
Amen.
It'll be a good time. Boy, everything about this service this morning has been about the cross. About Jesus and what He'll do for your life. It'll be a good day to get saved. It'll be a good day to get that thing settled in your heart. Sometime back, I preached a message, and most of you have heard it, I'm sure. Y'all remember, how many of you do remember on the message, Why I Live, the Life I Live? Simple little outline, because I want to. Because I ought to. Because I get to. And because I'm afraid not to. Y'all remember that? Well, this ain't it, but it's something like it. Every now and then I get asked a question. I had a funeral, just kind of came up suddenly. A lady, she wasn't in our church, and not sure the lady was even saved. Tough funeral I have to preach. I did that this week and on Wednesday, and I was standing by the graveside after everything was said and done. And I've known these people my entire life, grew up around them my whole life, spent many nights in their home with their, spent a night with their sons and things like that. And we were standing there talking, and I made the statement, it's sad that the only time we see each other is at one of these.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
So, man, we used to be in each other's face every day, growing up together. We played together. We hunted together. We fished together. We rode bicycles together. Now we don't see each other unless somebody's dead. They said, yeah, you're right. And then the very next question, or the very next breath, the guy looked at me dead in my face and said, how long have you been doing this? I said, well, I've been pastoring at Happy Valley. March will be 26 years. And he just looked at it and he said, wow. He said, man, I don't see how you do it. I said, how I do what? He said, this. He said, you've been doing this for 26 years. He said, I couldn't do it. And the Lord gave me a pretty quick response, Brother Charles. I said, but the problem there is, this is all you see me do.
That's right.
This is all you've seen me do is deal with heartache, with death, with mourning, and with loss. That's the only facet of what I do that you see.
That's right.
But there's so much more that I do that you don't see. I might be happy today. They say see. There's so much more that I'm allowed to be a part of that you have no idea.
Yeah. Right.
So just for a few minutes this morning, I'm gonna answer the question, what is it that keeps you going? How is it that you do what you do? And I'm gonna preach to you this little thought. Why come? That ain't good English, but why come? Why do you keep going? Why do you keep doing it? Why do you go to the pulpit Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday? Why will you get on an airplane this weekend? Go to Buffalo where there's 2 foot of snow and there's Yankees and they don't even understand what you're saying. Why would you do that? I love you, Brother John. Amen. You want to take my place? I'll do. I just got over the flu. I'll come back with it again. Why do we do it? You ever ask yourself why you do what you do? What motivates you? Where did Alyssa go? What motivates you to go in that Sunday school class Sunday after Sunday and Monday after Sunday? I'll tell you why in just a minute. I know she would too. Why we do what we do? Why would you come up here? It was 31 degrees this morning. Folks was up here while you were still in the bed, cranking buses and warming them up. Going out and getting boys and girls and bringing them to the house of God that they might hear about Jesus. But if you don't think that don't ever get old, you got another thing coming. If you don't think they wouldn't mind just hitting that alarm clock or throwing it against the wall, rolling over and going back to sleep and saying, the heck with it today. Sister Edwina testified a while ago, they're preaching all over my message this morning. Sister Edwina testified, she said, I've been driving the bus for 23 years.
Amen.
We're living in a day when people don't do nothing for 23 years. Amen. Anyway, this morning, just for a few minutes, I want to tell you why I do it. Why I preach. Why I go. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. Here's the reason. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you still believe that?
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here it is, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
How shall they preach except they be sent?
Yeah.
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
This morning I'm going to give you three very simple and quick reasons why we do what we do. Why we do what we do. Why we keep on. Why, Brother Greg's been in our junior church for 20, almost as long as I've been a pastor here. Maybe I've been here 26 years. He's probably been doing that 23, 24 years. He's never come to me one time and said, Brother Eddie, I need a break, I'm burned out, or all that kind of stuff. Man, he's just hung in there like a hare in a biscuit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. There's something that motivates us and makes us want to keep on doing what we do.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what it is. It's one of the three major things. Number one, the thing that keeps me going, probably more than anything else, Brother Charles, are the folks that are here.
Amen.
The folks that are here, the people that are here sitting in the pew this morning, you don't know this, but you encourage your preacher more than you ever know. This morning, maybe I'm in a good mood. I'm not down. I'm not out. I'm not struggling. But I'm here to tell you, if I had been this morning, if I was ready to throw in the towel, if I was ready to quit, but when Sister Edwina walked down here and said, I've been driving the bus for 23 years, and she started talking about that spot with the tall where she got saved in that old building, I'd close my eyes right now, Brother Freddie. I'd see her bowed down there praying, getting glorious. Linda sitting back there 23 years ago. Is that right? 23, is that what you said? 24 years ago. Found a dog. A dog wandered up in her yard. She started hugging the address on the little dog's collar. It was a beagle dog. Started hugging the address on the little dog's collar. And that address took her right by our church. You know what she said? I didn't know there was a church there.
Amen.
That's the first person I know a dog led to the Lord. I look at the Nates and I look at the Nicks and I just look around at all these people, face after face after face, and I've watched God transform them. I watch Lexi and Crystal come to this altar this morning. That's why I get up every day. That's why I read this Bible every day. That's why I pray every day, because of the people that are
here.
Man, you can't dare sit and tell me God is real. I've already seen him too much in too many lives. I said he put marriages back together. I'm talking about people who have had professional counseling, paid big time money, but to no avail. And somewhere in the midnight hour, they said, let's give God a try.
Amen.
Watch God put marriages back together that it looked like there was no way from the marriage.
Amen.
Watch God change the life. Especially these last few years in our ladies' home, I've watched God change the lives of people whose parents had given up on them, whose family had given up on them, whose spouses had given up on them, whose children had given up on them. And by the way, even they themselves had given up on them. But somewhere in the midnight hour, they met the very God in heaven. He opened the heaven. He didn't tell them. He showed them. I listened to Carl testify this morning. Carl showed up here how many years ago? Almost 6 years ago. Homeless, jobless, his own parents wouldn't let him in the door of their house.
Amen.
This ain't as good to y'all as it is to me. I got something invested in it. I watched him 6 years later stand up and give God glory for what God's done in his life. Hallelujah. And good for you for quit smoking, Brother Carl. That's blessing. And how we keep doing this? Because of the people that are here. I pulled up this morning. I don't know whose bus it was. It was y'all's bus. Y'all just pulled up. And I was watching all them kids get off that bus, and I thought, glory to God. I remember when I was one of them. I remember when I was one of them little kids, 4 years old, riding the bus to church. Hallelujah. Now I get to be a part of it. Hey, I don't drive a bus. I don't visit a bus route. I support it in every way. But thank God Almighty, we get to be a little part. Hey, I guarantee some of them kids, one or two of them, three of them, I don't know, some of them going to get saved. We do what we do because of the people that are here. They encourage us to keep going.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So what about the ones that cause trouble? They encourage me too.
Amen.
Man, you're looking around you this morning. Some of y'all been around here a while. Brother Charles, can you believe this? It's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's unreal. And this is an off day. Last Sunday, the place was packed. The balcony was packed.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, God's good.
Yeah.
This encourages me. Amen. Every time I get discouraged and want to quit, I see your faces.
Amen. Amen.
I've come too far to turn back.
That's right.
That's right. Somebody said, preacher, when you gonna slow down? I did last year. I did. I really did. I slowed down last year. Didn't travel near as much. But I think I'm fixing to get busy again.
Amen.
I had a preacher scolded me. I told him I slowed down. He said, that's okay for a year. I said, well, I'm in my 50s now. He said, big whoop. He says, that mean you can't preach no more? He said, you better give it all you got, son. Jesus is God. And I'm done. Just encourage me to ramp it back up. And then go tell the world, Jesus saves.
Amen.
Do you know what? Because of what I do, people will go to heaven when they die.
Amen.
I'm not tooting my horn. It ain't me. It's all Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But I am that preacher that will go tell them that Jesus saves.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God's right. Look at them kids real good.
You think about giving up that Sunday school class. Look at that little girl that got saved in her class this morning. Look at her sister that got saved just a couple of weeks ago. And it seems like once a month Melissa's coming in here, had one saved in my class. Thank God for Sunday school like that. Whoa, wait a minute. People ain't supposed to get saved during Sunday school. But us people get saved when God deals with their heart. There's no specific time.
Amen.
Any time's a good time.
Amen.
If it's your eternal salvation,
Amen.
We do. I got a bunch of notes, but I ain't even looked at them. We do what we do because of the people that are here. They encourage us. God's left us here for a reason.
Amen.
I mean, if you get saved, you belong to Him. Is that right?
Yeah.
If I go buy a new car or a new pickup, that thing belongs to me. I'm going to take it to the house. Unless I've got a good reason to leave with that. The Lord purchased us on the old rugged cross. When we trusted Him as our Savior, we became His. We're His
children.
He must have a pretty good reason to have us here.
Amen.
If you get discouraged and ready to lay it down, just think about the people that are here.
Right.
Counting on you to do what you do. I had a boy, a few years ago. Brother Warren probably knows exactly who I'm talking about. Got up here to go run his bus route. He was driving the bus for us. Got up here to run his bus route, and he couldn't find his key. Called me at the house that morning. He said, "I quit." I said, "Whoa, what are you talking? What are you quitting?" He said, "I am never driving a bus again." I said, "Why?" He said, "I can't find my key." I said, "You're an idiot." I was trying to say it politely. "I'm sorry about your brother, but you're an idiot." I said, "You're an idiot." He was trying to show me how bad we're off we would be without him. I said, "Dude, you ain't letting me down."
Right.
I said, "Think of all those little kids that are going to be sitting at the end of their driveway."
Yeah.
I said, "There's probably a broke down bus sitting out there, and I bet you $5 you go get the key out of it, it'll crank the one you're sitting in."
Thank you.
Call me back a few minutes later. "You're right. I'm on my way to get them." And sometimes we think we're in this thing, it's all about us, isn't it? It's all about them. The reason we do what we do is because of folks that are here. Not only that, but because of the folks that are already gone. The folks that are already gone. Brother Charles, Hebrews chapter number 12 says we're compassed about with so great the cloud of witnesses. I don't know exactly how that works, but I believe there's a cheering section in heaven. I got a little grandmother that's all gone over there. She's been gone for a mighty long time. I got another grandmother that's just been gone a couple of years. I guarantee you they're in heaven this morning saying, praise you, tell them. You tell them this place is real. You tell them there is a real heaven. There is a real spirit of gold. There is a throne with a Savior set on it. You tell the world. The older I get, the bigger that crowd gets, Brother Charles. The bigger that cloud of witnesses get. I just hear Brother Jay Bice. He used to sit right there where Nate's at, cheer me on while I preach. I guarantee you, he said, "That's the man that led me to Christ." I guarantee you, he's in heaven this morning saying, "Praise." Praise. We can go on and on and on and on and on. There's a crowd of them that's already up there counting on us to tell the rest of their loved ones so they'll be up there too.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
And that encourages me.
Amen.
That encourages me. I've said this since I was in my 20s. Somebody said, Brother John said, asked the guy, on his job interview, "Where do you expect to be in 5 years? I don't know about 5 years, but I've always said my dream. Somebody said, "What, if you could be anything you wanted to be, what would it be?" An old preacher.
Yeah.
Let that sink in a minute.
Yes, it can.
I want to be an old preacher. Not now. But when the time comes. I don't want to be like that kid in that movie that woke up grown. I don't want to be like that. I just mean I want to make it. I want to still be in there when I'm saved.
Yeah.
The Lord tarries. Amen. So I've said that since I was just a kid preacher. I want to be an old preacher. In other words, I didn't want just a good start, but I want a good finish.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, every time I get discouraged, every time I get down, I can see some faces there in heaven.
Amen.
Think about those who've gone on before you. You got somebody waiting on you?
Amen.
You got somebody waiting on you?
Amen.
Dear friend of mine was telling me this week about somebody in their family that had died. Said he had the sweetest dream. He just knew that the guy was talking to him from heaven. And he said, put his arm around him and said, we're waiting on him. We're just waiting on him. What about that song about the day? Me and John's got a daddy that's there. Probably had an opportunity to nail him down about his salvation. He shared with me his testimony.
Amen.
We're going to see him again.
Yes.
I bet you, I guarantee you, the old man sitting there this morning saying, preach, son.
Yeah, baby.
Preach. Why do we do it? Because of those that are here. Because of those that are in heaven. Last but not least, we do this because of not only those that are here and those that are in heaven. I do what I do because of those that are in heaven. Just as sure as there's a real heaven, Brother John, there's a real place called heaven. Somebody said, I just don't believe that. Get you a big long drill bit and drill down the core of this thing we call earth and see what you find. So make a fire. There is a real place called heaven. And people can escape it because of what we do. In Luke chapter number 16, there was a rich man who had an old beggar that sat at his gate and begged every day. The old beggar's name was Lazarus. The Bible said that Lazarus died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The Bible said that the rich man died also. And then the very next statement after it said the rich man died also, the Bible said ended in hell and lifted up his eyes. Looked into Abraham's bosom and said, would you send old Lazarus to go tell my brother not to come to this horrible place? You know the number one prayer request of somebody in hell? Send somebody to tell my family not to come to this horrible place. When I was a teenager, one of the most popular songs, I remember probably 1980, somewhere in that neighborhood, one of the most popular songs when I was in high school was Highway to Hell. Anybody remember that? AC/DC. Bon Scott was the lead singer of AC/DC. Died in his own vomit, if I remember right. They dropped him down in his grave, and they stood around his grave and sung, I'm on the Highway to Hell. Friend, that's the last thing you want.
Amen.
You don't want to die and go to hell.
Amen.
Ain't nothing, no drug, no party, no nothing worth dying and going to hell for.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I guarantee you, he's in hell this morning screaming, go tell my friends. Go tell my family, this ain't no party.
Amen, preacher.
This ain't no concert, this ain't no show.
Right. Amen. Amen.
This is torment forever and ever and ever and ever. We'll never serve God when we get a reality. There's a place called hell. It motivates us to keep running the buses, to keep going to our Sunday school classes, to keep crawling in the pulpit and preaching it one more time. Abraham said, this is the rich man. They got Abraham and the prophets.
Yes,
if they don't believe them, they ain't going to believe one though he's raised from the dead.
Right.
You're right.
I know some people who are there this morning. I know some people who are there that I might have had an opportunity to change that situation. A lot of them were. Why are you a church this morning?
That's right, Chris.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Why do we do what we do? I'm motivated to do it because of the people that are here. You encourage me. Just to walk in this place on Sunday morning and see your face. You think, boy, you probably won't even miss me when I'm here. More than you know.
Amen.
More than you know.
Amen.
When I get discouraged and I get down, I think about the lives that God has changed. I thought about Laney this morning. Did you ride a bus today? How long did you get saved? Just a few months ago? July 2nd. Yeah, boy, it didn't take me a day. She's already working on the bus. That encouraged me.
Amen. She actually shared her testimony this morning in Sunday school.
Yeah.
A couple of the other girls shared
their
testimony, and that's what
Emily
was.
So that girl
gets
saved.
Amen.
I know we're human and we get down, but how dare we won't quit.
Amen. That's right.
It's time to quit. It's time to get fired up.
Amen.
Because the folks that are here, because the folks that are in heaven, brother Todd, y'all come to this song, if you would. Because the folks that are in heaven. I don't know why I'm saying it, but I would die to help me. I wasn't sure I'd say it. I'd get that settled right here today.
Amen.
I'm trying to get you to join the church, sign up for nothing. We just want you to know you're going to heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
Maybe there's somebody else who's been a little discouraged. Been a little discouraged because everything doesn't seem to be going your way. Maybe it's time you just got re-encouraged this morning by the folks that are here. By the folks that are in heaven. By the folks that are in heaven this morning. Keep doing what